Hello. Welcome to the Overflow Podcast. This is episode 2 of season 4, so super excited to have some friends with me today. Hello, Pastor Ryan.
Hey.
Hey, Shelly.
Hey.
Hey, Alex.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hello.
So excited to have you guys. Ryan, let's just go. Let's dive right in. Ryan's got a fun question for us. We're going to get started with today's episode with a little icebreaker.
These are how well do you know me questions.
Oh.
No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking.
Like, Shelly's going to win.
I joke. But here is a question. It is dealing with my favorite thing in the whole world, not Jesus, in the whole world, kind of. The question is, for everyone to answer, if you could have an endless supply of food, what would it be? Now, I guess it's only one specific thing, not like an endless supply of all the food, because that's no fun. So one thing, an endless supply of it for the rest of your life. Or do you want two or do you want one?
I kind of want two.
Okay, but this
one's
harder.
Yeah, I can go with two.
If you could be in the Guinness Book of World Records, what record-breaking feat would you attempt?
No.
I just have no desire to do anything extra more than I have to do.
Same.
Never mind on the second question.
I will never make the Guinness Book of World Record for anything.
What about like growing hair?
No. Mine could be just for sitting the longest.
Okay, so that's okay.
But even that, no.
The longest run of Netflix.
Yes. I'd be down with that. Yeah. That's whatever the laziest one is, that's going to be mine.
I have no idea what that one. Okay.
Great question.
You could only listen to one album for the rest of your life, what? Yeah. Let me start over.
Spit it out. Okay. You are a communicator as your vocation, so
I'm so good at it. This week, I have not been able to talk. Have y'all noticed this?
Like tongue-tied?
You've been tongue-tied.
Okay. Anyway, the two questions.
Oh, yes.
I know. I can't. It's like I can't talk anymore.
Be honest today.
Okay, the food question or the one album for the rest of your life?
Okay, I'll just go ahead and start with the food, because the reality of the album is that that is my life.
Yeah.
I just listen to the same emo bands that I listened to in 2007, 8, and 9.
Okay, like, what are they though?
So my favorite band is Copeland. And so I will always go to Copeland or old Fall Out Boy, not new Fall Out Boy.
What's an old Fall Out Boy song?
I mean, am I more than you bargained for yet?
Oh, okay.
And I didn't tell you. Anyway.
That is not how you
like
sound.
Like I'm in Hollister in 2006.
Yes.
I don't want to talk
you
about those.
You can smell it. You can smell Hollister right now.
Brings back bad memories.
So anyway, so that's that. Just Chick-fil-A chicken sandwiches. If I have to choose one, like I just want a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich. sorry, I jumped back to question one in case you weren't following.
Ooh, that's a good one though.
Look, if I just have to choose one thing, that's it.
That's good, yeah.
They're good.
Can I choose the combo? I guess it's my question. Yeah, I can.
You can. These are your rules, man. Yeah.
I have two. Okay. So on Sundays, we have a new tradition as of like the last 3 weeks that we do Sunday charcuterie board.
Love that.
Yes. Because, you know, our brains are dead after Sundays and I don't want to cook. I don't cook anyway. And
I definitely don't want to cook on Sunday.
But I definitely don't want to cook on Sunday. But I'm getting really good at arranging food on a board.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It is an art.
Did you like buy the knives and forks and everything for that? Or you haven't gotten that deep yet?
No, I'm not that deep. Okay. Lauren Ratza did tell me that I need to add a stout mustard to my charcuterie board.
Oh, dear.
And that is another level. She's probably the person to talk about the charcuterie board. Ugh. But for now, I just put like pepperoni and salami and cheese and some dips. I'm like an amateur at this.
Yeah. My parents are all about that.
Yes.
Yeah. But if
we did steak.
Yeah, we did steak, jalapeno poppers. It kind of, you know, not a traditional charcuterie, but I feel like I could eat those like little pickups, as Sally calls them, for the rest of my life. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's a good like genre of food. Just quick stuff.
Whatever you want.
I like that. Yeah.
Crackers and cheese is
club crackers.
You don't think about that, but it's so good.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Dude, I'm torn, man.
It's like, okay.
With food. I don't know.
Your wife can cook.
I know.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would. All right. This is like style or a specific type. Ryan.
You tell me.
I think you can make up your own rules.
If I, I'm trying to. My thing, probably my initial thought would probably be like authentic Mexican, yeah. like,
food. I'll take that. It could be a genre.
Mm-hmm. You know, but then that battle between, like, Japanese and Puerto Rican is like, oh, gosh.
That's a lot of genres.
They're multicultural.
I know. But then who can't go down for, like, a good slice of pizza? You know what I'm saying?
I'm saying.
Like, yeah. this is sucks.
What is America known for? What is American food?
Pizza.
Burgers.
No, that's Italian.
Oh,
you think
are
so?
Burgers?
Sorry.
Are burgers American?
Oh, burgers?
I feel like burgers would be American, right?
Yeah.
What about Southern barbecue? Is that American?
Ooh.
Oh.
That is my runner-up.
Yeah.
Oh, you love
barbecue really. Is my runner-up.
You know, oh. I love Southern barbecue food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, BBQ is good.
Yeah.
Burger. Soul food.
I feel like I've only really discovered barbecue in the last couple of years. Like, I would have never chosen it for anything. Mm-hmm. But now when people say they have it somewhere, I get excited.
But you got to have macaroni with barbecue.
No, yeah. You have to go to Ray Nathan's and get the sun drop sauce for your
yeah,
barbecue.
That's fire.
Oh, dear.
Sun
I'm
drop.
Learning lots of things today. Yeah. I need a it's stout good. Mustard and some sun drop sauce is what I'm going to need after this. Okay.
I would go tacos. I'm a taco man. I do love cheeseburgers, too.
Yeah.
And I also like sandwiches.
All right. Well,
sandwiches are good too.
Ooh, chicken sandwiches.
You know what I'm really learning from this is
that
like,
you broke the rules on your own.
I could
you
eat did. Pizza too.
Yeah. Well, now we've got forfeits.
Okay. No.
See, that's what I'm learning from this conversation is aren't you just happy we don't have to live in a place where we choose
have to limit ourselves.
Where we have to have one thing. We can eat whatever we want any day of the week.
God bless
it's
also, food.
It's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah. Well,
I'd also take Greek pizzas.
Ryan's the staff is loving Greek food right now. So everybody's been going to Greco Fresh. Yeah. Robin's probably gonna be mad that we've talked about it on the podcast.
Sorry.
She's
about
at the
her.
Place where she's yeah. like, okay, enough people know about it now. Like, don't be there when I go there. Don't crowd this place when I want to go. Well, I feel like I've learned so much about you all and your food choices.
Maybe though.
Learned. We've all said a lot without saying anything at all. This has been. No, that was a good little icebreaker. Well, today I really want to talk about being a living sacrifice. We just have been introducing this topic on Sundays. And so, Ryan, you set it up for us at the very beginning, talking about Abraham and the sacrifice that God asked him to make, but then ultimately provided for him. And then this past week, we really... not in like a mean way, but like really went in on people like to be looking personally at your life. What does it look like for us as a church right now in this season to be a living sacrifice? What does it look like for each person to kind of make that decision or take those steps forward? I wanted to unpack this a little bit more on the podcast because there's so much to being a living sacrifice that we also can't totally cover on a Sunday, to where one of the things I want us to just kind of expound on is that it's also not just an act of works.
Yeah.
That it really does have to be something that is moved in your heart by the Holy Spirit and then also sustained by the Holy Spirit. Because if we are just trying to say we're going to lay down something or that we're going to try to do more of something as our sacrifice and worship to the Lord on our own strength and our own mind, and then when we lose steam or we ultimately give up on something or whatever, if it's only been by our own works and power, then that's a lot of times where shame can set in too. And then, well, now I'm worthless. Now, you know what I'm saying? And so I just wanted to talk more about this conversation. And I wanted to also bring Alex and Shelly in because we've kind of all talked about this like in our sermon planning meetings and just variously. And then Shelly and her group are going through James right now, which is also what our young adult group is going through. And it talks a lot about this like faith and works working together. And Alex had some great insight in our sermon planning meeting about what being a living sacrifice means. And so the last thing I'll say before I want us to kind of dive in, and Ryan, I want you to kind of take us back to the beginnings of when we had like our planning meeting about being a living sacrifice and just kind of what the goals were for this so that people can be in on that. Cause it's not a secret. It's not, you know, it's not that we are like trying to trick anyone into being a living sacrifice or anything like that. It's like, we just want to be open about what we felt like, you know, God was the direction that God is moving us as a church and what that looks like. And so Alex had shared some good stuff because we were coming off of the heels of Ephesians, which we did this, you know, we talked about that. We did this great exercise in what's something that we need to lay down, what's something that we have to give over to God, what's a part of our old self that we're done with. And we kind of, you know, wrote it down, put it in the trash can. And I think I mentioned this on the last episode, but that we, you know, poured that into our staff, prayed over those things for the people who were making really hard decisions to give up things that maybe have been habits their entire life or something they've been entangled in for a long time, or just mentalities or whatever it's been that they just wanted to leave behind. So our staff prayed over those and then we threw them in the fire because you can't get that back. We're done with that. So it was kind of coming off the heels of that. And then we go into this series where it's not the being a living sacrifice at that point. It is about laying some stuff down. It is still, it's still in that same vein of like stuff that we need to get rid of. But even more so, it's what do I want to do more of?
Yeah, that was, I thought that's what you were going to mention.
Yeah.
You know, when we first started talking about this podcast, it's not what can I keep stripping away or what can I do, you know, less of.
Yes.
It's what can I bring? What can I do more of?
Yes.
That is the sacrifice.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what do I bring right. to this table, to this altar and yeah. say, this is my worship to you.
Right.
And so the example Alex had that keeps sticking out in my mind, he talked about a few things like, how can I love more? Mm-hmm. How can I go deeper in my worship or, you know, things like that. And so that has been a really powerful image for me through this yeah. whole thing. And that's why I wanted to share that, because not everybody can be in our sermon planning meetings. But just so that when people hear, like from Sundays, if they're listening to this episode, the hope is that there is a deeper understanding of it's not just everything that God wants to take away from you. Strip it back, strip it back, strip it back. It's what can we do more
if
of?
I could go, I would, our vision and heart for this series and for our church was, like you were just talking about, it's like not necessarily, I think we ending Ephesians and doing what we did with, putting things that you perhaps struggle with and like burning it, you mm-hmm. know, but now transitioning and pivoting into more of a, you know, a living sacrifice and like really keen in on living, what are mm-hmm. things that we can be more alive in?
That's so good.
You know, within our spirit. And so, you know, a lot of us, you know, in our everyday like lives, like how can we be more like Jesus? Well, mm-hmm. obviously Jesus isn't a dead thing. He is alive mm-hmm. and active. And so those are the things that we want to focus on,
yeah.
you know? And so I did read a couple of like the stuff that people wrote down. And mm-hmm. one of the things that like was highlighted, somebody just wrote his way,
mm.
you know, it's not a sin issue, mm-hmm. you know, like that person wrote down, it's not a stronghold, but just I want the living sacrifice. If I just want his way mm. more than what my own desires, mm-hmm. you see, and that to me is the whole point of mm-hmm. the next coming weeks of our yes. you know mm-hmm. series here. And so there's a lot of beauty in that, you know.
Definitely.
How can you be more merciful, more compassionate, mm-hmm. you know? How do you when something happens, what's your default yeah. system? You know, like if you get bad news going to the doctor, what's your initial thought? Mm-hmm. Is it faithless mm-hmm. or is it his word? And like, you get what I'm saying? It's yeah. not about not living in a reality, but that we are not from this earth, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's the way I want to like start transitioning people to like start thinking,
yes.
you know, and living sacrifice. So
I love that.
Yeah. So the first part, I love what you said too, is coming alive basically. Mm-hmm. And the word that keeps coming to me is action. We talked about this too, is response. Mm-hmm. I think what we are trying to, as a staff, we want to kind of shift the culture to more of a response. Mm-hmm. I think we, in this week, spoiler alert, we're going to talk about being comfortable. We can't be comfortable so much because, and I love what you said yesterday, when we're comfortable, we kind of block out the truth a lot mm-hmm. because we don't necessarily want to take in something that we know we need to act on because we're comfortable with where we are. Mm-hmm. And the truth requires action. You can't mm-hmm. just listen mm-hmm. to the truth and accept it and then stay still. That's, mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't work that way.
You if can't you be accept hearers truth, only.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, yeah. And if you truly accept truth, it moves you to do something. So action, the first step is repentance. And I think that's what the trash can thing was. We have to repent of the sins that are in control of our life. Let's mm-hmm. be honest with you. They are control of our life.
Definitely.
That's the point of repentance, is to let them go and run away from them. And that opens the door to be more alive in Christ. It's running away from sin and chasing holiness, getting closer to Christ, mm-hmm. which makes us alive in our spirits and in our souls. And that's what living sacrifice is about. How mm-hmm. do we honor Christ with every area of our life by moving forward towards him? The thing I went to today, it was a great conversation because he was trying to help me understand, how do we become a living sacrifice in a world that's so consumed by politics, mm-hmm. that's so consumed by now things in Texas talking about abortion or even homosexuality, mm-hmm. things that we are so consumed by, where we feel like the world is pushing us to accept these things. And so do we, as Christ followers, as being a living sacrifice, how do we address those in a way that's loving and godly, to not accept them and to live our lives as a way to be a representation of Christ? Mm-hmm. How would he respond to those things? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So that's something, too, that I think is so important. When we are those things, when we accept them, that's conforming to the world that we talked about. Mm-hmm. That's being conformed to the world, but instead we are transformed. And instead, when we're transformed, we figure out how to address these situations and help people understand why we believe what we believe. Mm-hmm. Wow. Instead of just accepting, we are transformed and we live mm-hmm. as a sacrifice to yeah. Christ, because we know that, again, sacrifice of acknowledgement. We acknowledge Jesus, knowing that what I might say might push you away from me from a relationship standpoint, but at least I'm standing on the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, we have become like afraid to risk.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. that's where your message, like for this Sunday, like being comfortable. Mm-hmm. Why do we have to accept things? Well, I don't even think it becomes a matter of like accepting or just like letting it happen, mm-hmm. like happen, not you know? Mm-hmm. And so, but that's because we don't want to risk, you know, being different. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I have this weird analogy where I'm just like thinking of zebras or like certain animals where like, you know, you don't want to stand out, so you look all the same. Uh-huh. But the moment you become something different, mm-hmm. now you become prey. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Or yeah. you're on the outside of the herd, now you're prey. And so people always want to be
yeah,
like mm-hmm. normal, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. They want to conform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Conform means coming into the group.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you still got to speak in truth, and that's what we'll end it on. How do we, as the church, be a living sacrifice mm-hmm. while speaking in truth and love? Mm-hmm. We can't neglect the love part. That's what Christ did.
Well, and I think, so that's where my mind kind of goes when we talk about that, because I think sometimes we can think that in order to be a light or in order to stand on truth, that we kind of take it upon ourselves, especially in this social media driven culture, that, well, the way that I'm going to be a light is by sharing all of my views about this on social media. And that's how people know that I'm different or what I stand for. Hmm. Now, is that wrong? I'm not going to say that it's wrong, but the real, when you say, what would Jesus do? In my mind, the real transformation and stuff like that happens is when you say, I'm going to be a living sacrifice by opening up my home. Mm-hmm. It comes in hospitality. It comes in, I'm going to invite people into my home, and I'm not just going to make my stance known on Facebook on what my political views are, what my religious beliefs are, and just put it out there for the world to see and say, like it or not.
Yeah.
It really comes in, the living sacrifice is like, can you bring people into your home that don't think the same as you and don't believe no. the same as you, and love them there? Mm-hmm. And out of that, conversations happen. Because Brandon and I had this, you know, these conversations. We've talked a lot about this year, about like wanting to just, we have a place now, we want to open up our home to people that don't think the exact same as us. And when they come in, it's not that we hit them with the gospel and here's everything you're doing wrong, or here's everything that doesn't align with scripture. It's not about that. They come in, we pray over them. Why? Because that's what we do in our home. Mm-hmm. That we're inviting you into our what we believe in and to our culture. Not forcing anything on you, but we're going to pray. We're going to pray before we eat dinner, because that's wow. what we do. And in those little things where you're not afraid to be in someone's presence and still believe what you believe, but also love them where they are. Mm-hmm. To me, that's the real, like where the rubber meets the road, living sacrifice, because anyone can, I want to be gentle, but anyone can spew what they believe on Facebook.
Right.
Anybody can. There's not a lot of sacrifice involved other than like, oh, somebody may unfriend me, or it may be awkward to see someone that I know doesn't believe this, like at the ball field, or, you know, like yep. there is a little bit, but the real real living sacrifice to me in this context is, can I invite them in? Can I just live life with them? Can mm-hmm. I trust that they're, can I know that whatever they're carrying in, whether it's a lifestyle or whatever it is, or an addiction, it's not going to rub off on me. It's not right. that. It's that we are the light. Mm-hmm. We shine light into the darkness. And so I don't know if any of that makes sense, but that's kind of where it feels like that those could be steps for somebody. Like, mm-hmm. what does it really look like in our world to be a living sacrifice? Mm-hmm. I don't know that it's just shouting what we believe.
No.
Without it, it's the whole relationship that we talk about that a lot.
Well, and back to what Ryan said, it requires action.
Absolutely.
You opening your home is you doing something. Mm-hmm. It's you submitting to Jesus and saying, hey, I want to invite you into what he's done for me.
Yeah.
It's not, like you said, on social media, telling everybody what you feel about something.
Yeah.
It's doing something.
Yeah.
Getting up and saying, hey, I'm going to open my door and I'm going to show you how I live my life.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's almost like, not trying to play on words here, but action, active. Like if you have the truth, meaning Jesus in you and he is active, it causes you to, you know, do stuff and there's fruit from it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's been our whole thing with, you know, like faith and how Romans talks about it. And then James, how he talks about faith and works, you know? And I just think people who genuinely have Jesus in them, there is this thing in your spirit that like pushes you.
You're compelled, yeah.
To compelled by compassion or whatever to just act,
yeah.
You know, towards good things, you know? And so I think that's really the main thing like that we're kind of just sharing here.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like for us right now, so I feel like we have in us the compelling part of it. But I also want to normalize maybe for anyone listening who doesn't feel like, well, I don't just feel compelled, like I feel scared. Like we've also had to personally, and that's what you have to overcome sometimes. It is that uncomfortability, but it's trusting in the grace that God will give you for that moment. Yeah. So there is like, like if we want to invite somebody into our home because we just want to love someone, but they're, again, in a lifestyle, participating in something maybe they shouldn't or have an addiction or like whatever it is, if we want them in our home, we still have to overcome a very human part of us that's like, what do we talk about? And like, how do we make this person feel welcome without making them feel condemned just because of the way that we speak or, you know, things like the things that we do talk about. So for anybody that's listening, you may have that compelling feeling like I want to do this more, but there's also just a very real practical overcoming of your selfishness. And that's where it is. Like, would I rather on a Tuesday night, like sit down and watch a TV show with my husband? Sure.
So this is where the sacrifice piece comes
in. Exactly.
So we're going to get to this because I know Sunday's message is about comfort, but I'm just going to be straight up. Yeah. What I wrote on that board, we have two boards in the front of our sanctuary that we're asking people to respond. We're asking people to take action and write something on this board that you want to sacrifice. And so Sunday, I felt, I've felt it in my spirit for the last probably 10 days or so that God was calling me out of my comfort. And this started with us buying a TV for our back patio. Oh,
getting real comfortable out there.
This was not my idea.
It was my idea. I am not spontaneous by any means. Ryan is our spontaneous, fun guy. And, you know, Saturday morning, you know, the start of football season, it's 8:30 in the morning. We're sitting out on the back porch. He's actually doing his sermon prep. I was doing my quiet time. Levi asked me what we were going to do that day. And I said, I think we're going to go buy a TV.
Just spontaneous.
That was awesome.
Yeah. At 8:30. And Ryan said, all right, well, game day starts at 9 o'clock. We got to go now. And so within 10.
I was like, we got to move.
Yeah.
So
within, within 10 minutes, we were in the car on the way with three boys, woke Jude up from sleep, in the car, headed to get a TV. And we enjoyed a day, a beautiful day outside.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with enjoying wonderful gifts that God has given us. And you know, that that TV was meant for football, so we can be outside all day, throw the football with the boys, that, you know, we're not cooped up inside sitting on the couch. So it did serve a good purpose. But at the end of the day, I thought, wow, all I have done all day is think about how comfortable I can possibly be sitting in this chair. To the point that, you know, so we went out and bought a TV, an affordable TV, but bought a TV. We have wonderful chairs that we're sitting in. I'm looking up ottomans for our feet. My back hurts. So I'm looking up a cheap pillow that I can buy for my chair, for my rocking chair.
Wow.
And it was great. Yeah. It was embarrassing almost at the end of the day.
First off, don't judge us.
Hey, I'm just bearing it all
we,
here.
We all do this.
You know? But at the end of the day, I thought, wow, I have thought all day long about how I can be at my ultimate comfort level.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty much nothing else. I've thought about nothing but my comfort. And so when pretty loud and clear on Sunday when we're called to go write something on the board. I wrote my ultimate comfort for ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah.
And this is not just about sitting in a chair on Saturday mornings watching football, because there are good gifts in that.
Yeah.
But it's about how can I sacrifice more of my time?
Yeah.
Can I not ignore my alarm at 6 o'clock I get up and read my Bible and sit on that back porch and enjoy the comfort, but also give it to God?
Yes.
Wow. How can I invite people into my home and instead of sitting and watching Netflix or doing what I want to do, how can I invite somebody over and just, hey, enjoy a meal with me?
Yeah.
How can I make better use of that time?
Yeah.
That's what sacrifice.
That's it's a genuine battle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I have that conversation with my wife too, where like sometimes like, I'm not trying to put my wife on blast, but like she'd be like, hey, can we not have anybody this weekend? You know, but then we end up having, you know, people for some reason, spontaneous stuff come up. And then we can't see it not happening.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying?
It's like, it is literally the same thought process to me as working out.
Yeah.
I every day when I have to get up and work out, it's like
Why am I doing this today?
Oh my God, I'm about to put myself on blast. Today, I was like, I could hit snooze and I'll just tell Jess that I accidentally overslept. I'm so sorry. So I had that actual thought process, did fall back asleep, but woke back up 5 minutes later and I was like, okay, no, I got to get up.
Yeah.
So had that thought, but it's the same process. And then I'm done with the workout and it's like,
and you feel great.
Thank goodness I did this. Yeah. And that's how it feels with, I think, any step of getting out of your bed, getting off your couch, whatever it is, to a little bit of discomfort. But then you get to the end of the night and you cannot imagine it.
I don't want
to
say a trigger word because I know like people don't like this word related with comfort, like the act of like laziness. Like comfort can actually like promote laziness, you know? And I get the like the in between. But like I heard, not to be really random, I heard this story of this basketball player that when they went to the bubble, he purposely slept on his couch because he knew that if he got too comfortable, he'd be lazy. And he's like, in this season, because there's no family, like at this point, you know, in the beginning, no family, no, he's like, I just bought a bunch of books, like learned to do investments. Like he's like, I wanted to put myself in a spot where I wasn't lazy and like just watching Netflix all day.
Yeah.
So he's like, I slept on the couch.
Yeah.
He's like, that didn't last more than a month, but he's like, It was a Udonis, Udonis Aslam from the Heat. So, but I, in my mind, I'm like,
sports.
Yeah. What? You know, like, you know, it's just, that's the whole thing of comfort.
Yeah, that's, but that's action too.
Yeah.
And it's discipline.
Discipline.
You have to discipline yourself. And to steal a quote from you, what starts as discipline ends as delight.
Oh, that's so good.
You know, you have to train yourself.
Trademark, Ryan
Brandon. Fire.
Fire.
Was that me?
I think so. I mean, for today,
I mean, I know I said it before. I also gave you
copyright to somebody else.
I gave you credit for a quote, and someone later was like, that's Timothy Keller.
Like, oh.
Sorry for your ears.
What was it? It was a.
I don't remember. Yeah.
Or is when somebody quotes somebody like so and so said this, and they're like, "Oh no, that's the Bible."
That was Jesus.
Yeah. Yes. So.
You don't call the qualified. You qualify the called. I was like, "That is brilliant." Shelley said that.
That actually is scripture. Yeah.
that's
Timothy
Keller.
That's so funny.
Going back real quick because this has stuck out to me. I with that one week we did Abraham and Isaac, I told y'all in the staff thing, I was like, man, for some reason, this story will not get out of my head. Mm-hmm. And it still won't get out of my head because it relates to basically everything we're talking about, especially the comfort thing. And going back to what you were saying about the football thing, it hit me on stage. And I told people this, first service, I was almost in tears because I thought to myself, when we got to the part of where he's laying Isaac on the altar, in the preparation he took to worship Christ through sacrifice, following in obedience and discipline of what God told him to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, the stacking and all this, knowing that he's about to sacrifice his son. The Bible says slaughter his son. Mm-hmm. And then I said, like, what did I do to prepare for this Sunday as I sat in a chair and watched football? Mm-hmm. Now, we don't need to bash ourselves. Right? That's not the point of this.
Yeah.
But I just thought to myself, man, God, I feel like I got it all together. And there's so many things in my life I need to work on. And there's two ways to look at that. Do we look at ourselves and get depressed that we're not great? Or do we take action?
Mm-hmm. No.
Get out of our comfort zone and say, you know what, God? Thank you for showing me these things. Mm-hmm. Let's move forward. Yes. Let's do these things. I'll sacrifice for you. Yeah. But here's a question. I don't, if y'all have a thought on that.
I have one quick thought.
Okay, go.
We all got a question.
Just You know, we started doing the James study too. And that's one of the things that Matt Chandler said about James. And we kind of talked about this last night. Like, if you're in the book of James, without the grace of God, the book of James feels heavy.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of what you should be doing, what life should look like for the believer, what your actions should look like. Mm-hmm. It feels heavy. It feels burdensome without the Holy Spirit. And he said, the whole point of this book is progress, not perfection. Mm-hmm. You could study this book and try to put it into action for the next 1,000 years and you still wouldn't reach perfection, but hopefully there would be progress. And that is the whole point of anything having to do with being a living sacrifice. Mm-hmm. If you get to the end of this series or, you know, however long your brain or your heart wants to take you further into this, like, living sacrifice, it should be our lives, right? Like, what we want to strive towards. But without the grace of God and understanding, you're not going to reach this, whatever this level of perfection is, this side of heaven, because of the fallen world that we live in and our sinful nature. We're not going to reach that, but it's understanding that it's progress, that next time, when life hits me hard, when, you know, when we have temptations or struggles or whatever it is, the next time, maybe I respond differently that time. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's something that I've taken with me that taught me I don't have to have anxiety about this, or like, that's the whole point of it. It's not this unreachable standard that then when you don't reach it, or again, you fall away or you stop practicing for a short season and you just enter into a shame cycle and think, well, God must hate me now. I've done nothing, or, you know, everything I've done is useless. That's not the reality of the grace that we live under.
That's not grace at all.
It's not.
And the emphasis in what you just said, the emphasis is on you and not on Jesus.
Exactly.
It is about what you can do, what you can bring, your good works. And through this James study, and which is perfectly colliding with Sunday morning sacrifice, it's not about you.
That's so good.
God does the saving. This is a quote from Matt Chandler. I'm not taking credit. God does the saving and you do the serving. The emphasis is not on you. It is certainly you get to participate and you get to bring something to the table. We're not called to sit on our hands, but it is because God saved you. He did the work first for you to be able to give back, to sacrifice something for him.
So good.
So real quick. So I know you got a thought. So again, I was talking to this dude today and it was a very good conversation. It's not like he was bashing any part of the message, but he did say he left frustrated because his questions weren't answered of how to handle the earthly issues while being a living sacrice. And so he asked me, I said, he's like, I went in there and I never got my questions answered. And I said, okay, first off, what did I say? Now I got to remember. I basically asked him, what if you never got those questions answered? Would that affect your relationship with Jesus? And the whole time he was telling me that, he just sat back in the message. He saw all these people responding and he felt like, I don't feel convicted or condemned, which is a good thing, but I don't feel convicted. God, is something wrong? Like, why don't I feel anything from this? And he said, I think I was frustrated because I didn't get my questions answered. So I said, if you never got those answered, would it change your relationship with Christ? Would it hinder your relationship with Christ? And he said, of course not. So I said, what if it already did? I said, you came into that church expecting your questions to get answered. I said, what if the point of church was to go in and to worship, to hear from the word of God, to be open to what God wants you to know, not what you want to get out of it. And so he sat back and he was like, dang, you're right. Or what if you're not supposed to get anything out of that message, but what about everybody else that's responding? What if we started praying for our neighbors to get something out of that?
That's been my whole thing. Too, like, even if the message maybe is not 100% for you, but if Jesus is in you, you know, and what is this activeness of part, like, that we want to partner with our church and with our church family, like, just simply praying and honoring what the Holy Spirit is doing in that room. You know what I'm saying? And doing that.
Man, wait, that is huge.
It is.
That's the culture that, and we, hey, podcast people.
Yeah.
This Sunday in the church, I'm going to say we need your help in shifting the culture of this church. Response.
Yeah.
Stop focusing on you, right? It's about Christ and Christ alone.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, not to get this deep in it, but, you know, if we're at the end of the service, you know, we're talking about specifically response time and like after a message and, yet again, you have that person who didn't felt like necessarily it was for them. But is there a true love and compassion for those that the Holy Spirit is ministering to right now? And think about how beautiful it is that we're talking about eternity at stake here. Mm-hmm. And so when you're so me, 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 but you're not realizing, man, the Holy Spirit is doing a work in mm-hmm. this person's heart. You know what I'm saying? And so if we could just like, you know, and I think mentally just if you're in the room and you're just like Jesus and just start like praying for people mm-hmm. next to you that the Holy Spirit would do something mm-hmm. in that person, you know, and just pray for more discernment, you know, and like be active in that, mm-hmm. you know? And those to me are like the beautiful things of yeah. how we become a church family that's activated, you know, by faith and by His Holy Spirit, you
definitely.
Know?
That's so, exactly what I said too. I said, if you notice for the past couple weeks, whether it was me, Logan, or Vernon, or even the worship leader mm-hmm. speak, our messages, it's together. This yep. isn't about this person or that. It's the church as a whole, the mm-hmm. body of Christ, and we need each other to accomplish yep. the work of God.
Yep.
And we need to pray for you. We need to be with each other. We need yep. to support each other, hold each other accountable.
It's really good.
That would be huge. If we start praying for one another, it takes the focus obviously off mm-hmm. of us. Yep. And ultimately, when you pray for someone else, it brings you to focus on Christ. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's yep. that's the point of all this.
And this too. Is knows, I mean, this is not, you know, we have conversations, of course, within staff and things like that, but that's where it's not some secret, this whole like shift in culture is not for the sake of doing something new and, mm-hmm. You know, cool or whatever. This really is, how do we turn our minds towards Christ at all times? And that's where I love even what you're talking about, Alex, because we've had these discussions mm-hmm. where what that even looks like practically is, I'm not going to leave the service early during this last song just to go beat traffic or pick up my kids so that I can beat traffic or mm-hmm. get to a restaurant earlier and beat the church crowd or whatever. Mm-hmm. What this looks like practically is, I am so engaged with what the Holy Spirit is doing in this room with brothers and sisters, even if it's not for me personally. And that's almost a cue.
Yep.
If it's not for me personally, then my role as a brother and sister mm-hmm. is like to be that. Praying for the people yeah. beside me. And I'm so interested in what God is doing wow. in their lives. I wouldn't dare distract them by trying to like get my purse and my cup of coffee yeah. and like head out early.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying? It's that practical.
I like
the role verbiage, right?
Yeah.
You know, I forget where it is in the Holy Scriptures, but we're basically all different parts of the body.
Yes.
Fingers, mm-hmm. toes, whatever. And we all come yeah. together to make the body. We all have a specific role.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. That. So you take responsibility well, as a part of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
I'm not going to break a finger off right now. Like, yeah. you know, just to like get ahead of the line, I'm going to stay. I'm a part of this body. And I want to see God move in the life of my neighbor. I want there to be powerful
yeah,
movement.
I understand
in their
that
lives.
You could disrupt it. Like,
yes.
you know, we know that there's nothing impossible for God,
absolutely.
But man, distraction is such a key that the enemy uses.
Yes.
And if you distract or disrupt anything, you know what? You may have just hindered, you know,
uh-huh.
an opportunity for like somebody to pass up or for somebody to just, you know, have a focused conversation with the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. at that moment, you know, just because
yes.
you're wanting to like.
Everything comes full circle.
Yeah.
Or I guess half circle. So that. If you're praying for somebody in that mm-hmm. moment, how comforting is it to know when it's your turn to be convicted or compelled or
yes.
whatever, that someone might be praying for you,
yes.
for the Holy Spirit to impact you. So
yep.
again, you never know.
Absolutely. And yep. I think that's even down to serving, because I've thought about this for a long time. If people feel like they are just showing up to church, you feel like, well, I'm good today.
Yep.
I'm good with God, you know, maybe had a quiet time this week or heard a good song or like whatever it is. I feel like I'm good. I don't need to go today.
Wow.
But understanding you're a part of the body means somebody might need me. Mm. Somebody might need a word that I have for them. They
yep.
may need that hug from me, something only I can give to this body because of how God has gifted me,
wow.
the friendships that He's put me in. And so that's where it becomes dangerous to view church
yep.
and how, you know, the body of Christ as, well, I'm good, so I don't need to be filled up, so I don't need to go today. No, somebody needs yeah. you. They need your prayers. They need Mom. Your voice. They need yeah. your hands.
I wanted to jump back to almost like 5 minutes ago.
Do
when,
it.
When,
when
Ryan,
you had a thought.
When I had a thought.
Oh, my bad, y'all.
No, you're good. I think this is great because it's a good segue back into yeah. just what you said moments ago about preparation. And, you know, we mentioned this in our sermon planning meeting. Just I had said, like, anointing requires preparation. Mm.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I have shared with like people in my team, you know, specifically like musicians, is like, do not dare lean on your giftings before like spending time with Jesus, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And that is something we all like fault in, mm-hmm. you know? It is so, you know, quote unquote, easy to just sing a song or play a few mm-hmm. chords, but there's a difference, you know, when there is time set aside mm-hmm. to spend time with the Lord, to prepare your heart, to prepare, you know, just you. And when you get into those moments, there is like, you know, whether anointing is a new word for you or not, like there is something special that happens, mm-hmm. you know, and going on with like people who may not have that spiritual feeling to like pray for somebody because you're maybe, you know, maybe just not there yet. Like prepare your heart so that the Holy Spirit can start tugging more. You know, we're so distracted about so many things that it's hard to hear the Holy Spirit whisper mm-hmm. in our ears. You know, maybe less distractions, more of Him
right.
will give you that discernment to like, oh man, maybe I should pray for the person on my right now. Mm-hmm. You know, and I promise you the beauty that comes out of that goes beyond what we could ever imagine, mm-hmm. you know? Absolutely. And so that was my thought.
Yeah. Beautiful thought. That's yeah. responding to the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know?
Well, and that's why I feel like there has been more Holy Spirit talk within just the last few weeks and months. And it's just such a key part that we have to understand yep. the gift that we have in the Holy Spirit. This is how God speaks to us. This is the Spirit of God. So I love when you were talking about that. It takes a certain like sensitivity, but just like anything else, I think it takes practice mm-hmm. and hearing from the Holy Spirit. It takes overcoming some own stuff in your mind of like, am I hearing the Holy Spirit? Is it just me thinking this or whatever? I say, if you're thinking something and it's a good
it.
Thing,
yeah, yeah. Act on it.
What could be wrong? What could be wrong with that? Even if it is just your brain and not the Holy Spirit,
right, like it's not a selfish.
Yeah, if you're like, if you feel led mm-hmm. to pray for someone or to go up to them and be like, hey, yeah. you're doing a great job in whatever you're doing, or, you know, mm-hmm. whatever that is, some sort of encouragement. Regardless,
yeah,
that's a beautiful thing, regardless of what the inspiration is. But I would venture to say you're feeling promptings from the Holy Spirit. It's just becoming more comfortable with
mm-hmm.
the language and understanding this is how God speaks to us. Mm-hmm. We have the gift of His Spirit for that. So I like that. I like that things seem to be trending that direction. Mm-hmm. But also I want to go back to the preparation because I like that. First of all, after you did the sermon on Abraham and Isaac, we were like meeting that Monday or Tuesday, and you were like, it just felt really quiet.
After you could hear a pin drop.
And Shelly leaned over to me in the middle of the sermon and was like, you could hear a pin drop. But I think it was just so sobering for people the way that we walked through what that actually looked like for him. Mm-hmm. And in our sermon planning meeting, we had conversations about like what Abraham could have been thinking as he's taken this 3 days. Did he know that God would provide something else? And we kind of went through that, and it was like, or did he really think that after 3 days, you know, he really was going to sacrifice it? Like we just kind of contemplated what happened. But I love the place that we got to, and Robin just kind of summed it all up as she tends to do in this like perfect little sentence of like, I think it was no matter what, he knew God's way was better, mm-hmm. no matter what. So if that means I'm going to sacrifice my son at the end of this,
mm-hmm. yep.
God knows better than I do.
Yep.
And if it means that he's going to provide, because we did talk about that, because Abraham would have already seen God's promises. Yeah, Abraham now had kids and he was promised he was going to have kids, but then he was like super old.
I was going to say, not to cut your thought, default thoughts of like living sacrifice. How do we get that thought to be our default?
That God's way is better.
Yeah.
I don't know. It has to be conscious.
Nothing in life doesn't happen without practice. It's not like you're going to wake up and be like, you know what? I will never have a lack of faith again. Mm-hmm. No, you get tested. You get tried.
No.
And you said it. The next time you come up with something, maybe a short little thought might come into your head about, follow through with that.
Yes.
Most of the time, again, if it's towards faith in Christ, that is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the remembering. I think to take time to remember. Shelly is good at this because Shelly writes down her prayers.
She's good at everything.
She's really good at it. She really is. Oh, my gosh. I'll just sing her praises. But Shelly is really good at this because she writes down her prayers. And then she can go back and say when they were answered.
She has her prayers from like fourth grade.
Yeah, which is, I think, one of the most beautiful things. Wow.
A lot of them used to be about me in high school. That's true.
And it's a testimony that prayers can be answered.
Yeah,
am I
right? Facts. Oh, no, that's right.
That is so true.
But it is, it really is true.
It's evidence of the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm done.
Well, yeah. The funny thing is, well, I'm not going to say funny. So Shelly, you walked really closely with us when we had a miscarriage. And then when we had announced that we were pregnant with Nora, you had looked back at a prayer without getting too graphic, probably would have been about the time that Nora was conceived, but you had prayed that we would have a baby. Mm. And come to find out that we were pregnant. And so like that, there's just this long line of remembering. So you know what your prayers are, and then you watch how they're answered. Mm. So when things come to you, I'm not going to try to guess or assume, but what I would probably assume about you is like, you've seen things happen. You know, you've recorded what you've prayed for and watched God come through so many times that I'm sure that your faith versus maybe somebody who hasn't had that opportunity to do that yet, you can build on those. Mm. You're like, I'm faced with this right now, and this is scary, but I know that I've seen God answer prayers, and I know He can do it again.
Yeah.
So that's where that might be a good, even practical place for someone to start. Like, I think, how do you get to a place where you say God's way is better?
Yeah.
You remember all the times that it's been better.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Don't forget when He's come through or when He's answered something, even if it was in a way that you didn't expect.
Right.
Don't forget that He did that, because that's what you build on. And yeah, what builds that spiritual muscle.
I just had a thought about, not that you meant it as an analogy, like her notes, and then the faith aspect. I was just over here looking for thought of Hebrews. And I was just, by coincidence, reading this today, but it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And to me, you writing these things is because you've seen Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you had not seen Nora yet, you believed by faith that Jesus was going to.
Mm-hmm.
Does that scripture like kind of make sense now?
Absolutely. Yes. Hebrews 11:1. It's one of my favorite absolute verses. And it goes all the way back full circle to Abraham.
Yes.
By faith, he didn't know Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what does the scripture say about Abraham? He believed in God, and it was credited to him as righteousness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Here's a question.
He had faith.
Yeah.
What gave Abraham the strength to do that? Oh, so this goes on to how do we daily choose to be a living sacrifice? What gives us that strength to follow through on all these things?
I think Abraham's life, he has seen time and time again the Lord do things that are just so tangible. You know, like,
so
by the time this, like, let's just call it ultimate test, because like we're all parents here. The ultimate test is giving your child up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think to this point, you know, he, like Robin said, he just knew like this way is better. Mm-hmm. Like, and that sounds nuts, you know, like even in our day and age. But
so what was it then that Abraham, inside of Abraham, that he was able to see and know who God was through the experiences? Why are we different? And I'm not trying to get at anything.
Yeah,
I just
want
to know, like, so Abraham saw and trusted, and that changed his life, you know, progressively.
Mm-hmm.
All right, for us today then, where is the strength for us to get through all these situations and things and truly live our life as a sacrifice? Do you think everybody, or believers, people who call themselves believers, do you think they have evidence of Christ in their life?
Mm.
Believers?
Yeah.
Do they have evidence of Christ in their life?
I
mean, for sure.
Yeah.
You know,
my question is then, so what is it then that we can't get into our minds and our hearts and our souls that Abraham did? So, and in my point, I think
like,
we all have
I know what you're saying, right? Because
why did he do it, but we can't?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It almost seems like he's the singularity. And every time we have this conversation in any setting with anybody, it's almost like, nah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I couldn't do that.
Yeah, I could never do that.
2 weeks ago, I remember the feeling of just the auditorium, the people, when you talked about it, it's almost like
good for him, not for me.
But why? I know what you're saying. Why our flesh nature always defaults into no way.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but if we both, meaning us and Abraham, have seen evidence of Christ or evidence of God, what was it in him? Like, where's that strength come from?
Dude, I'm not going to answer it, but I will say something that I heard last week that's very, very relative to this. I hope this doesn't offend anybody, but I heard this really, really smart intellectual guy say, you don't fully,
a different smart intellectual guy.
Fully mature as an adult until you have a kid. And I know I don't want to offend anybody if you don't have children, but the point of what this professor was saying was, up until you understand the idea that you pretty much have somebody who's fully dependent on you and you sacrifice everything for that child, you don't fully mature. Mm-hmm. And that thing blew my mind. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it makes a lot of sense. And you know, in certain cases, you know, that I've seen. And like going back into this child thing, it's because as a parent, you're like, this is somebody you're giving your everything for. Yeah. And that's the part where like, why can't we give that up? You know, because it's children are just something special. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, besides like other family members, like your children, at least they should be, you know, it's just different, mm-hmm. you know? And that is why I think it's so hard, you know?
But that's why the story is so poignant.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what God the Father did mm-hmm. in surrendering his son.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's the story of Abraham and Isaac.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's going to sacrifice his mm-hmm. one and only son for the good of everyone else.
I feel like lean into a lot of what, and this is another thing from Robin, where you don't know the grace that someone is given. Like, people have grace for that moment.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so like there are things you can look at with your human eyes right now in the future and say, I could never go through that.
Yeah. Future grace isn't, you're not there yet.
You're not there yet.
God's
you're not
grace
in that
is not much either
exactly.
yet.
Exactly. It's sufficient for that moment,
given,
right?
How's grace given to us?
Now,
through the Holy Spirit?
I think so. It's a strength. Oh. It's a strength of the Holy Spirit. I mean,
about how is it given to Abraham?
That's what I don't know. I don't fully understand.
Yeah.
I guess that, which I think maybe that's
I think
okay.
the crux of the story, though, initially to really answer your question is we really do think short term, like not my child, because we don't know. How do you say? We don't know what's to come after that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the same way as Abraham and Isaac, like just being faithful and not knowing the blessing that was to come, mm-hmm. same way Jesus, like dying and to the enemy, it's like, oh, he's defeated. But man, the beauty that came from his resurrection, you know, like mm-hmm. we don't trust in God completely to know that like his plan is greater,
mm-hmm. right?
Like greater, you know? So I think that's probably my perspective.
So real quick too, this is kind of cool. So you mentioned, did Abraham, when he had the faith, did he know that God mm-hmm. was going to spare his son?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think he did.
Yeah.
And because I think that again, that, and I say this way, but it doesn't mean it's strong, but I think it would cheapen the amount mm-hmm. of faith he placed. But here's what's interesting, because we mentioned this before in staff, and I was talking to people after, I'm trying to find the exact verse. Give me 2 seconds. Well, they finally get to the mountain. Oh, and then 5. And then Abraham said, Abraham said to the two men that he's traveling with, the boy and I will go over there to worship, or on top of the mountain to worship. Then we will come back to you.
Mm-hmm.
So did he know? No. But he also knew. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he did because of that verse. We will return.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think he still was, no, because he was still, his point was to sacrifice his son. And he still went up there and built the altar and almost.
The other thing, though, is he's not going to tell the guys he's traveling with what he's about to do either.
Yeah.
It is his intimacy with the Lord, his own instructions. You know, so yet again,
that's
there's
like a sermon in and of itself. Yeah. Like sometimes you ain't gotta talk about what God's doing. You just let it happen.
You imagine if he would have told his, you know, his what was it called? His guys, you know, like
you're gonna kill your son, and not let that happen,
and not let the distraction or even the influence, uh-huh. you know, like, hey, are you crazy, old man?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, And so to me, it's like, no, this is me and the Lord. We'll return.
That is legit a sermon in and of itself. That's so good.
Here's something else that's fascinating. So again, I don't know the answer to this, but so we will come back. Mm-hmm. So Abraham also, in the previous chapters, you mentioned it too, knew the blessing that would come through his children. But it was even specifically said that Isaac would be the one to mm-hmm. carry
promise,
on the name.
Child of mm-hmm. the promise.
Yeah. So what one of these commentaries, and I didn't even say this, but it was so like mind-blowing to me, is that Abraham trusted the promiser more than the promise.
Mm-hmm.
Even if that meant killing your son, the promise would have still occurred because he trusts the promiser. Mm-hmm. Meaning that moment of sacrificing my son might not have been the promise fulfilled.
Yeah.
Right. Or the end of that promise.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though it looks like, well, if I kill my son, then the promise of this won't happen. No, the promiser will make that promise happen no matter what. Trust in him, not the event.
That's so good.
Fine, right? That's the default that we keep about. How do you make it a default?
It's that you trust the promiser that God's way is better, no matter what, what you're facing or what you're going through. I love that. Guys, this was such a good conversation.
Yeah, it was.
I hope this is has been helpful for people in understanding kind of where we're coming from in this whole living sacrifice thing. It's not about how much more can I do for God and then he'll be pleased with me and all that kind of stuff. It has nothing to do with that. It's truly being led by the Holy Spirit, pursuing what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do in your personal life, what you need to pursue more of. Yes, what we need to strip away that doesn't look like Jesus, but really what we lean into more with the grace of God. It has to be with grace, or we will just feel like failures probably all the time. So hopefully you have a deeper understanding of what this living sacrifice thing looks like. And maybe homework for all of us this week is really, how can we make God's way is better our default? That when we are faced with something we don't like, something that's hard, struggles, diagnosis, all these different things, like whatever we're facing, that we say, okay, God's way is better. So thank you guys so much for joining us. We're going to continue on in this Living Sacrifice series. We've got lots more things coming up. We're going to be talking about serving here in a couple of weeks, which is going to be super exciting. We are planning our fall fair. So if you're a podcast listener, this is the first time you're hearing about this, which is super exciting. That's coming up at the end of October, but we're going to announce it fully this Sunday. All of the announcements and everything. We have something super fun. Well, we have men's night coming Friday.
Yeah. Free barbecue, macaroni.
But then we also have, what do we have coming up, Shelly girl?
We have The Grove. Yay! On Monday night. This is our new revamped ladies night. It's really going to be a night of worship for ladies. Mm-hmm. Time to fellowship and just really enjoy one another. So sign up. We'll see you Monday.
Yay. Mm-hmm. Super exciting. So that's September 20th, which is very exciting. So men, so by the time this airs, which is Thursday, that means it's tomorrow. Yeah. So Friday the 17th. So men, go ahead and get registered for the men's night. Ladies, get registered for Monday, The Grove. We also have Discover New River this Sunday. It's not too late to sign up for that, which is where you will get all sorts of information on New River. You'll get a history, what our structure is, beliefs, all sorts of stuff like that. And then you'll get a tour and then you'll find out all the different ways that you can connect. So that's a really great class, whether you've been around New River forever or you're brand new. So that's what we got going on. Lots and lots of stuff.
We'll
go look at the
audio
website.
Tour like the Biltmore.
Yeah, we'll give you a headset and a tape recorder. No, none of that. But it's gonna be a good time. So you'll find everything at newriver.church if you want to be a part of any of that. Thank you again for joining us, and we will talk to you next week on The Overflow. Bye, guys.
See you fellows later.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Overflow podcast of New River Church, where we seek to provide authentic, practical, biblical encouragement beyond Sunday services. We hope you enjoyed this conversation, and if you'd like to learn more about New River, please visit us online at newriver.church or join us in person on Sunday mornings at 9:15 and 11:15 a.m. We'll talk to you next week, same time, same place. May God cover you with his goodness and grace, and may Jesus always be enough.